The other day I was doing some Cameo and I had my earbuds in and went over into another room and did a whole Cameo and I went check it. There was no sound. So the earbuds in the other room were getting nothing and I was getting nothing in the other room. So it was for nothing.
Basically. Oh, man. How long is it? It was just like a few minutes, right? For Cameo?
No, I spent some time on there, you know. I kind of.
Really?
Yeah, I don't say, hey, man, happy birthday, and I see it by, you know, I go off, you know.
Really?
Yeah,
that's kind cool. Of
people love it, you know.
How much is a Cameo from you?
Oh, nothing, like $50.
Oh, that's pretty low. Some of them are like a lot. They're like 1,000 or something, 500.
I go more than that than most people that charge that much more money. But I never thought that anybody'd even give a hoot, you know.
Really?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, it's hard to say what people, you know. I mean, I get them from all over the world, you know.
Yeah, because you guys, I mean, have toured all over the world. You're one of the big four thrash bands. I mean, you guys have played some huge arenas. You must still have a pretty solid fan base.
Oh, we do, you know. But as far as Cammy goes, I never knew. You know, you don't know. It comes from all kinds. I mean, I have people saying, hey, my friend's down and out, or he just graduated, or he's got a new job, or, you know, help him recharge his life, you know, whatever. I get all kinds of requests, you know.
Wow, that's really cool. So, I mean, that's like kind of a good thing that you're doing with the Cameos. It's a brightening people's day. I mean, I'm sure you run into that all the time, meeting fans.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Chris and I both were open to a lot more than most people might be, you know, instead of having be burdened. I enjoy it, you know, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. Does it feel like you're kind of Santa Claus in a way? Like you're just constantly bringing people joy? I mean, if you're a diehard Anthrax fan, getting a Cameo from you or a picture or an autograph, I mean, that's like going to make their day.
Well, yeah, I certainly find that. And I also don't think about it. So it's just, it becomes a little bit more natural than I feel like I'm being a little bit of a celebrity, if you want to call it, you know?
Right. Cause I mean, for some of you guys like that are in bands, you don't think of, that's not really why you got into the band. It's more because you love music and you love singing and you love the art of singing and making your voice sound better on this song and playing live and the reaction from the audience and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's definitely been my thing. I've never really, I mean, a lot of it became a little bit too much horsing around. People I played with, it just like I never felt good when people were not into the real part of the music part of it versus the celebrity crap. I live in a small town. So, I mean, I wasn't going to get a lot of that. I never thought I'd get a lot of that. And when I did get it, it didn't matter to me. It was part of it. You know?
Well, so Anthrax wasn't, you're not talking about them when you say the horsing around, or was that part of it?
No, that was long ago. Anthrax became the first time I really, really felt like I was in a band that, I mean, I had some bands, cover bands that were doing okay, but a lot of it was just a lot of party, you know? And
music. Yeah, well, because your first band that I know of is called Bible Black, but they must have found you from somewhere, like a cover band or something.
Yeah, right. They did. And I actually don't, at this point, I still don't remember where I became interested to them. For me to come there, because I remember taking a bus to Ithaca from here from Oswego. I'm saying it was about maybe 2-hour bus ride, but we didn't do much with Bible Black. So, but as far as even that was, you know, serious bunch of guys, but they were at the point where they didn't really want to continue too much of doing anything. And I kind of came in at a bad time at that, but that was a great band. You know, but early bands, as far as that goes, I mean, you know, when you're younger, everybody's trying to get a set together and want to be a band that becomes popular, at least get to play out. And it just never materialized that much. You know, I had better luck with the cover bands than I had recently over the last, say, 15 years or 12 years. I had a band and we played a lot. And that, again, was no frills. You know, you're driving the car and everybody was serious to get there, but a lot of it was just a lot of fun. You know, and very, very concerned about the music. But again, it was all open for jams and, you know, whatever we wanted to do, you know. But Anthrax, yeah, was very serious when I got to there. That situation, at least what I could see, it kept me, you know, aboard being a band that I never heard of, to find myself into a situation where, hey, I could get down with this. I think here, let's give it a shot. You know?
Yeah. How did they find, cause you were in the Bible Black, but you guys never put out an official record. So did they hear a demo or did they see you live with a cover band or how did they find you?
Through Bible Black and then Carl Kennedy, the producing the record, he was friends with a lot of people in the area. My name came up, and he said that, you should definitely check Joey out. I mean, we really never got to do much with him, but he was really, really good. So they say, and I just got a call out of the blue as I was still playing some shows local, wherever and all over where we could play. And then, I got the offer to come up. Just, I mean, I didn't really feel like it was an audition. People were asking me. I wasn't looking for anything particularly at that time. My father said, somebody said, wants to know if they'd fly you up. This band called Anthrax, they're looking for someone to join the band. And, you know, they need a singer. And we kind of went from there.
So you did audition, though, because I thought I read that you got the job without even auditioning.
I you know, to be honest with you, I don't feel like, I mean, obviously we both were kind of auditioning each other. I don't feel like I, you know, answered an ad, said, you know, I want to be in your band. I want to audition. Could you try me out? I mean, they called looking. I mean, I got the initial call. So I kind of feel it was reversed. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I just know that I didn't answer an ad out of the, you know, the New Times and said, hey, you know, we're looking for a singer and we're a thrash band. You interested? I probably, who knows if I would even a thought about it. I don't know, but no, they offered to fly me up and, you know, from one propeller plane to another propeller plane from Plattsburgh of all places to Ithaca, New York, two small little places. And there they were in the middle of spreading the disease. And, you know, I just jumped in and I mean, within a day or so, they asked if I wanted to stay, you know, they liked what I was, you know, they liked what I mean, of course I did some little cover journey stuff just to throw a curve. And I couldn't think of anything offhand to just warm up to, you know, get the mic all ready to go. And I did that. And I think that kind of went, what?
But you had the, you could have the chops. You could, that showed that you could hit the high notes and stuff, which was really important. I think in the '80s, they really wanted people who could sing high.
Yeah. I mean, of course I also had a lot of versatility. I mean, I was into such different kind of music. And then of course the music they were doing, I had never even really a barked upon, you know, I mean, the best I think I got closest to that was doing like Kansas, and that wasn't it, or it wasn't Sabbath was close, I guess. Not really.
What about Judas Priest? They were kind of had been around.
Priest probably really might be the closest. And I didn't do a whole lot of Priest even then at that point, I was doing a lot of other stuff, you know, yeah. I was, everything you could think of other than that, it was more classic rock than metal.
So yeah. When they offer you the job, how does that work? Because that's always something like I feel like is a learning experience for people listening to my show. If you're in a band or just as a business perspective, like did they offer you a fifth of the band, like as an official band member, or was it more like you were like a hired gun singer?
No, I wasn't going to be in there and be a hired gun. I mean, I had to be a part of that or I wasn't going to do it. I mean, I don't even want to do it even to this point if I wasn't full on. I mean, I do a whole lot in that band.
Okay. So like, how did you figure that stuff out? Because did you have a manager back then or was there somebody that like looked at the contracts and stuff? Because that stuff's really complicated, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we all sat down and just, you know, put it together that way and, you know, made it work. I mean, I really didn't have any kind of representation at that point. I just knew that I needed something that was going to be fair. I mean, shit, when we first started, excuse my language, but
no, you can swear, it's fine. It's a podcast. That's a good thing.
Try to be mannerism, you know. But you know, you're talking about, you know, when you're in a band like that and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And when I first started, we were playing clubs that I had just already played. And I'm thinking, are we doing anything that may or may not be big enough for me to even continue? But I still, again, wanted to have a fairness. I mean, again, I do what I can with this band to make it obviously to you know, materialize into a better format and a bigger, better stretch. You know, I think it's proof that we've worked together well and been more successful than anything that they might have did prior to me coming or even after or while they were doing stuff in the middle. No disrespect, but I mean, I came back after 13 years and we were right out of the box, kind of kicking ass, you know?
Yeah. So that's always part that confused me though, because when they split with you that first time, like, how does that work? I feel it's interesting that you didn't like sue them or something. I feel like you always see that, hear about these lawsuits. Like, you kind of just let it go. Like, they're like, okay, you're not in the band anymore, but you guys had just signed a $10 million deal with Elektra. So isn't 2 million of that, wouldn't that have been yours if you're a fifth of the band? Like, I don't understand how that works.
Well, without going into detail and stuff like that, I mean, obviously we try to negotiate some stuff, you know. I wasn't going to force anybody to beg them to stay, you know what I mean? First off, I mean, you know what it's like when you're being ousted for no reason whatsoever. I mean, it was all bad to me. It was just crap. You know, I hate to say it, you know, it's like try to move on and not put bad things out there, but it wasn't good. You know, to me, it wasn't, you know,
it was confusing because, and no disrespect to John Bush, I think he's great, but it was kind of a lateral move, right? Like, you guys are both, you're 80s rock singer. See, I thought like, oh, maybe they're getting rid of Joey because they want to go in more of a, like, I thought they'd get like maybe a, like a Layne Staley type or something, and they were going to do a different sound, but they got another guy who, you know, sings an 80s metal band. So it was kind of a strange move, unless it was a personality thing or something. I don't really understand it.
I mean, they didn't give me any good Bon Voyage, you know, at all throughout all the years, you know, and it kind of left me with really, Not a much to, I had to fight my way through all that. To me, I didn't see anything that they did. And again, no disrespect. I mean, I didn't see anything really, oh my God, now they finally figured it out, or it's so much better. It was different, I'll give them that. But it wasn't anything that, like, holy cow, man. Wow, they should have done that long time ago. Forget it. I mean, other than somebody going, hey, it's different. I like kind of like the different twist, but it wasn't, to me, for the better. I mean, we were smoking right at persistent time. We were going, man. I mean, things were rolling there. I mean, obviously, you just said it right out the box. I mean, you did this deal, and all of a sudden, now you're gone. Yeah, it's really wrong. I mean, I'm not a vindictive person, but we tried to work things out, you know, to be able to say goodbye just as well enough for okay, you know, I just not into the whole fight of it all, but you know what? It's an ongoing battle. Just as well to try to keep myself on a level of fairness, you know, if I may.
Yeah. So is it kind of more just a business relationship with the band now?
Not necessarily. You know, I mean, look, you everything you do in a band, you try to, I want it to be fun. I want to be there every day, wake up each day and not walking on eggshells and feeling like you're really not, you know, people are really not looking at you the right way. I mean, that kind of stinks. I know everybody's got their own individualities now. They all roll in their own path of success individually, which I mean, I do my own thing, but I don't really care, you know, as much like that. But there also is a point in time where, like, you know, if you're on the team, you want, you know, the other guy to, you know, do his part and feel like he's done a whole lot for you too, just as well, and helps you carry through. And without being like, whatever, you know, it's just part of what we do. I don't want it that way. I hate it. Hate that part where, like, you know, we must carry on because it's the only thing we've got. But we are a band that's tight and it works great. And why not? Like, find a way, figure it out. Try to do something that's going to be long lasting and enjoy what you have and understand that this is a great situation to be in where you got 4 out of 5 people that are really capable of doing everything they can do musically and live. It's just, it's quite good. I mean, even the new stuff without even really describing it, it's as good as it gets, you know, it really is.
Yeah. Can you not give any details of the new music? No song titles or anything?
No, I there's no really reason to get into all that right now. I don't even remember what I do when I'm done. I do it so fast. I see you're a Seahawks fan playing tonight, huh?
Yeah, that's right. No, tomorrow, I think. Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry. Tomorrow night. Yeah, Cowboys.
You're a Vikings fan, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. That game the other night. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm talking about like needed game, and then they stunk it up. I mean, I hate it. Actually, I'm doing this. Speaking of Cowboys, I'm doing the Buffalo Cowboys anthem in Buffalo on December 17th. I know you're not a fan, but you
mentioned I know. That. I saw you did the Seahawks anthem. Like that's a really cool thing. How did you get into that, doing the anthems? Like, does someone just ask you to do it? Now it's just like a thing that you do.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten, you know, people taking care of it. A friend of ours, that takes care of it. And, you know, we have people asking me, you know, I got some hockey games coming up. I just did Denver against the Chiefs maybe about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. But as we were talking, you were asking about, I forgot what we, the titles and songs and stuff like that.
Yeah, the new music.
You know, the music, we do it. I do it so fast that I move on to the next song in a day. And by the time I sing the song and then finish the song and then get up the next day and start a new one, I don't quite even revisit what I did the day before. So I kind of leave it alone because I don't have time to look back at it. And then once I'm done, then I can start looking back, and then you start figuring out what songs you like to actually do live, or what may work, or maybe the most popular ones that we should be doing. Other than that, and then if there's any changes and stuff, when you look back, say, you know what, I dig this arrangement, or I like what I'm singing, let's add a little bit of more to it, you know, that kind of thing. But I have to say that it's quite familiar to what you've been hearing lately. That's about the best way I can describe it. I don't, it's too hard to go, yeah, it sounds like such and such and such and such. I hate comparing, you know. Do you ever get those things on Apple? It's like, here, you're going to love this band. They sound just like these guys. And it's like, no, they don't. It's got some similarities, but it's not even close.
So, but it would be a continuation of like the last two albums, the Worship Music, which was critically acclaimed, and then For All Kings in 2016.
Yeah, there's a lot of that there. It's plenty of that there, if not more. You know, I mean, it's challenging. It's there's some the songs that I've sang are really, really in depth. You know, it's so in depth that sometimes I don't, like I said, I don't quite remember, because I mean, they put them together so fast, and that's kind of cool, and it's spontaneous. But at the same time, you have to get your head around some of them, because they're not that cookie cutter kind of straight up, you know. This Anthrax, man.
Yeah. So the fans, the longtime fans, this will be something that they'll enjoy.
Oh yeah, it's pretty. Pretty sharp, you know. There's nothing dull about it. It's really, really fresh. That's one thing about good about us. I mean, put records out and you're going to get something that's pretty good, man, if not awesome, you know, for what Anthrax delivers and how we do it. You know, we're not looking for the hit. We're not, you know, I mean, yeah, if something stumbles on you and it becomes a hit of sort of speak. You know, I try to find a home run everywhere I go, but some songs are just not there for that. They just don't even think about it. Just do it and let it happen, and then let the fans kind of sponge it up the way they want to take it on, you know?
Well, that's actually a good thing for you guys, because I think in the 80s, I don't think, you guys weren't getting songs on the radio as much. People were buying the albums, though. And now with streaming, it's just, it doesn't matter really if you're on the radio, you can just get a bunch of downloads or streams or whatever for the best, most popular songs. Right.
You know, it's nothing new to us really at this point. I mean, other than like Sirius Radio, maybe, I don't know where else you get it. I don't listen to a lot of outside broadcasting for songs and stuff. So it's hard to say where we actually get our plays, if you may.
Yeah. I mean, the streaming, I think it was just, that's probably how a majority of the fans listen. Although I'm assuming that you guys are going to have this new album on vinyl and stuff too, because some people really prefer that. And that's a good way for you guys to make a little bit more money.
Well, I guess, I mean, there's a big demand for the LPs. I mean, I think it's cool as hell. You know, I love the sound of LPs, still own it, have all that stuff. But at the same time, it's way, way different now, right? It's not even close.
Yeah, not as many people are, but it's a nice package. I think that kind of stuff is, you got to get creative, I would think, as a band selling vinyl and merch and special packages and things like that, because you're not making as much off album sales like in the 80s.
No, of course, we've been pretty good with all that, negotiating and actually marketing and being able to do it properly enough for ourselves to manage, you know, to take on what you talked about, you know, that's marketing is what we do, you know. I mean, we try to do that just because it's fun. It's intriguing to see all the new stuff and how people like to collect and do that kind of thing. Like I do. We're fans too, you know.
Yeah. And then would you, I'm assuming you're going to have some sort of tour. Is that not announced yet? I know you have one show that's like a festival thing that you're doing at Daytona in February or something, but you don't have a tour lined up, or you just haven't announced it yet?
There's a lot of adventurous ideas.
Adventurous?
You know? I don't know. Maybe I just kind of threw that word out there. I don't know why.
Because it's like not the typical, wouldn't be like with Exodus and Black Label Society. It's like different kinds of bands or
lineups and stuff. I'm sure there are. And I don't even really pay attention to the lineup sometimes, because I kind of like, even if we have something coming up, like, oh, that's right, so-and-so's on the bill. And actually they're playing with us too. Oh, cool. You know, I'm so busy trying to think, okay, well, I got to go away for this time. And that means we got to do this, and that before I go out. You know, there's so much prep. Other than actually playing the shows, or like, here's the set. Okay, I know the songs. You know, it's interesting when we're going somewhere, because everything on the calendar is about where you're going and when, you know. But yeah, I mean, there's obviously going to be plenty. I mean, once we get going, we could play all the time. I mean, we always used to anyhow. We kind of kick off, and it's just like, how much do we all want to go before we take it? We need to take a break before everybody turns into something else.
Right. Well, so yeah, what is that like playing? Because you guys play with so many different kinds of bands. Like obviously the newer, like heavy stuff, like Lamb of God, you've played with them. But then before, I mean, like when you started, I think one of your first tours was Black Sabbath, and you opened for Kiss, and then you played with like Whitesnake and Ozzy and Iron Maiden. I think you even did shows with Guns N' Roses. I mean, all over the place. What is it like having different kinds of fans of those kinds of bands, and then you're playing for them?
Well, it's exciting anyhow, because, you know, when you get an event like that back in the day, even when we used to show up and you don't even know who was playing, you know, it was like special guest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember like going to like see Jeff Beck and be REO Speedwagon would warm up, and I'm like, wow, who are these guys? You know, wow, this is cool. You know, I mean, back in the day when they were like rocking and like kicking, you know, and you're like, you don't even know this band, like, oh, cool. So if we come out at a show like that, where people are like, I heard the name Anthrax, but who, wow, these, what the hell, you know? So we do run into kind of an interesting moments when we do some of these shows, maybe like the festivals, but even the festivals are a lot more open now. I mean, Styx could be on the other side at stage two, and we could be on stage four, you know, and earlier or later, you know, and wow, I can't believe we're playing together, you know, and at the same time, we played shows that maybe might not have fit us so well. Who knows, you know?
Well, yeah. So like with Kiss, the Crazy Nights tour, that's an interesting pairing. Like how did the Kiss fans react to, because I would imagine you guys kind of blow them, what, maybe some older fans, you know, Kiss is a little, not as heavy as Anthrax. So you come out there and just blow them away.
Well, they didn't have the makeup on, so there was a different time for them too, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously it was awesome just to go out together, especially the guys, you know, like Charlie Scott and Frankie, they're like Kiss. I mean, if they had their way, you know, they would be on that tour all year round, you know. They just love that band, you know, and I enjoy them too, but I mean, not so much like those guys. Those guys are like, I mean, they know everything, you know, from the day one. They probably went to the city and found them coming out of Electric Lady, you know, with a scarf on their face or something, you know. But no, I mean, all those tours are great. I enjoyed doing those tours, but obviously sometimes we might have been a little bit scary for some of those fans. I don't know, maybe, you know, it is. Sometimes you're just, I'm not into this. Like, whether it be a band like Lamb of God and us together, I'm sure that we have indifference of fans in that crowd, even though we all went together well and it was a great, great pairing. You know, and then you get bands like even Black Labels, you know, or Motorhead. Those are kind of different crowds too, a little bit, you know, when you get down to it, there's some interesting fans in that crowd. But you know what, you try to pair up with people and make it work on a live setting. You know, it doesn't always have to be the same genre of music. I mean, we took out King's X, we had Living Color. Yeah, we have Primus and Public Enemy. You know, we have had some different runs with different bands, and they've all been really cool.
Yeah, tell me about the one. I mean, if I had a time machine, this is a concert I'd go back and see. It was Slayer, Megadeth, you guys, and Alice in Chains was like opening. the show. I mean, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, that was a really great run. I mean, look at those guys. No one even knew who they were. I mean, as the days went on, we started to get familiar with their music and, you know, and everybody, if you started to become friends and stuff, run for them too. Cause I mean, talk about being in a situation where like, holy cow. I mean, come see the three of us. And then there's this new band, new music, and they're going on it like, you know, early on. So yeah, I mean, it was a great run. I mean, people talk about that tour all the time. Class of the Titans, you know.
Did you know at the time, you're like thinking Alice in Chains, they're going to be huge? Or did you think they could have been like a King's X that was critically acclaimed, but never really got that huge success they deserved?
Well, we all started taking a liking to them, you know. I mean, they were pretty great, you know. I mean, if you want to use that word, I mean, they were awesome. It's just, you're in the middle of that tour and things are going on. We're kind of rotating. We were doing like rotating headlining and stuff and all that. You're so in midst of doing that tour. And then these guys are still on. And sometimes you might be in dinner when they're on. It's so early. And so there's a lot going on, trying to get familiarized with them. But I mean, great for them. I mean, what a turnaround for all of us to watch them go boom, you know?
Yeah. Did Lane Staley, did he seek you out at all and ask for advice or anything like that? Or did you try to like help him out?
You know what? I'd see that we'd have a couple, you know, drinks and things and whatever, and we'd just hang out and stuff. But I mean, there was, the time frames were really hard to mix up. You know, the day goes on and they're on and you're getting, doing some interviews or having dinner, and then they get off, and then, you know, it's just, the day went on so much. We really didn't have, I personally didn't get a whole lot of hang, but I did enough to talk with them, but they were in their own little camp, you know. It wasn't quite like, you know, I just think they were on their own path, you know. I don't know. I didn't get a whole lot of like, hey man, what's up? You know, they seem to be fans, I guess. I don't know.
Which bands that you've toured with did you kind of have more of camaraderie? Because I mean, you've done so many shows with Metallica and Slayer and all those other bands. Did you make friends with some of these other bands? Are you guys buddies? Do you trade vocal tips and things like that?
Like Maiden, I mean, all right out the box. In fact, I'll be seeing Nico this weekend. I mean, I'm not bragging or anything. I just happened to be doing a show with him at his barbecue. It's a benefit for kids and stuff. And I was with Maiden and Vakken, you know, because I went up and sang with Doro Pesci on our 40th anniversary. And Maiden was always like, wow. I mean, these guys are really the pinnacle of the metal for us, you know, and they were a great band, good people, the whole thing, the whole organization. How we flew on their plane with Bruce was the pilot, and we went in South America the whole run together. I mean, nothing tops that. So even a band like that and being friends and just always sticking with that kind of lineup with those guys, I mean, there's really, really hard to top that. But yeah, there's quite a few bands we've become friends with. I mean, I don't want to name a whole lot at this point. We've had many runs together with, you know, Testament and Exodus and, you know, God, I mean, there's just a boatload of bands and that kind of, you know, Lamb of God's we all come friends with. And I don't know, I'm just leaving things out.
That's cool. Do you typically top music and shop and business, or is it you talk anything but music, or is it a little bit of both?
It could be anything, you know, like, yeah, me and the wife, yeah, we had a move last week, you know, we're traveling, you know, or, you know, I got a book signing, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of stuff that we're all kind of jumping around with. You know, of course, when I, you know, I'm throwing the Journey thing in, you know, when I see people now, like, say, hey, here, you see, you got the Journey thing now. How's that going? It's like, you know, people are interested in that. And, you know, so am I. And it's quite the diverse genre of music, but at the same time I just dig doing stuff like that. But you know, people ask what you're doing. I mean, I'm friends with people like in Chicago or Vertical Horizon, you know, like there's sort of different bands, Seven Dust, those guys. I like different bands and I'm friends with different bands, and it doesn't always have to be hard rock, you know, metal and stuff.
That's cool. Vertical Horizon in Chicago. Yeah, I would not have pictured you
become friends with them, you know, the singers and those bands, you know, man.
Yeah. Seven Dust too, though. I had LeJohn Witherspoon. God, he is so he said his voice gets stronger as he gets older. I believe him. I think he's so sure. Good.
Oh, I always go up with him and do face to face. You know, that's fun. On the jam together, me and LeJohn.
That's awesome.
Shred a little bit there.
Yeah. It's funny because when I was a kid, I think I just started getting into music like 91 or 92. It was like right before you left Anthrax. And I think the first Anthrax album I bought was actually Attack of the Killer Bees. Wow. What is your, like, what do you think about that album? Because there's some songs you don't sing on, obviously, but I mean, some that you do. What do you think of that album looking back on it?
Well, you know, without even remembering what's on that record at this point, like you said, there's some really fun stuff on there. It's almost like this, like an EP barrage of stuff that it almost doesn't feel like, you know, Persistence and Spreading and, you know, Among the Living and stuff like that. That one seems like a cool kind of album, like you'd see now, like a collective kind of stuff that you might have had in the closet or whatever. And I'd have to look at the set list of what's in that record at this point, you know? So, yeah, it's an odd album, right? But it's cool as hell because a lot of people bring it up and it's like, that's not even really what the core of songs that we're known for, right?
You know? Right. You never played many of those live, did you?
I mean, what was there? Parasite on there, right?
Yeah, that was a cool one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cover song, you know? Yeah. I don't try to think what else is on there. I need in front of me. It's kind of what kind of beyond me, like what's on that record, to be honest with
yeah
you.
I think it will like bring the noise and so like, yeah, obviously you did the tour with Public Enemy. How was that received, by the way? I didn't catch that one, but that was Public Enemy and Primus and yourselves.
Yeah, I mean Public Enemy is like the main thing with that, you know. That's a great package alone, just that song and the bands together, us and Public Enemy. But the rest of it, I'm trying to think, what else do I do on there that you could say, yeah, that's an Anthrax, man. That's Anthrax. Like, I'm just trying to think of like what else is on there other than like, you know, Madhouse and Spreading the Disease album entirely, or Among Living entirely, or Persistence of Time. There's all these songs. And then you go to Killer Bees and it's like, okay, what's this? It's not, it really doesn't lay out everything that we're really all about, you know, I think. It's just different. So,
yeah, it was. You're right. It's I don't even know how many songs that you sing on. I mean,
so when you get into that, it's like, wow, what a way to be introduced to Anthrax. You know, you're thinking, oh, what's this? You know, and then if you kind of skate back and you're like, oh, OK, right. Wow, wait, there's a lot of songs here. There's a lot of good.
I love it all, though. I like that stuff. But I also obviously I like the 80s stuff. I like the newer stuff. It's all yeah, great.
That's the crazy part of it all. I mean, really, it's hard to put it in words. You know, there's just such diverse stuff that we kind of threw out. And then we even had the EP, too. And then we did, you know, Journey, Boston, Cheap Trick, Rush, AC/DC, Thin Lizzy. And I was like, wow. And then we did Carry On, Wayward Son. And it's like, okay. I mean, I like
that was interesting because didn't the AC/DC song you guys did, the cover of TNT, that got nominated for a Grammy, which is so interesting to me. Not that it wasn't good. It was great. But it's just like, I mean, if you're going to, and you're putting your top five rock songs of the year, I mean, your originals, I would think, would be more, you know, critically acclaimed than a cover. It was interesting.
Hey, who knew that you'd be nominated for a cover? You know, Neon Nights was one, well, the big one for me, because, you know, knowing Ronnie and loving the Dio stuff. And, you know, I mean, that's like, to be nominated for that was a treat for me and the band, really, you know.
Is there a song that you could, if you could say that this should have been the song that was nominated or won a Grammy, is there one that you would have picked?
I'd have to look back and see what it was. Some of them are like album of the year or there's certain categories, you know.
Like, what do you think the best song that you guys have ever done that you were so proud of? And maybe it was popular or maybe it wasn't, but you looked at that and you said, this should win the Grammy.
Oh, well, that's tough, you know, because I mean, I didn't even think about Grammys until like, the word came up for the first time, you know? And then when you get that, it's like, okay, wow, they're open to our stuff too, you know? I don't know. There's have you throwing a song out? Like, are you kidding me? You think that would be a Grammy song? It's like, who thought any of it would be, you know? I don't know. I don't know. Say Indians, for instance. I mean, at least they had a chorus and a hook and all this stuff. But I mean, God, I wouldn't even have thought about it. That was the least thing on my mind when we were cutting stuff like that, thinking, you know, that you're going to have a, you know, you're just looking for people to listen and have a chance to have the song. I mean, look at Got the Time. I mean, we were on MTV and it was like this, the Hard 10, they called it. And they used to play it a lot. And that was great to be on MTV and have a video on there, you know?
Oh, that's such a great song. I know it's a cover, but it's like the way you guys do it. It just sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's unrecognizable, that song, when you hear it for real.
Yeah, you made it your own. And yeah. So did you ever, you guys never thought, or did you do, have you done a Journey cover? Because I know you're in that Journey cover, but Anthrax.
Keep on Running on the Anthems record.
Okay, yeah.
Which was, I remember just saying to Charlie, it's like, it's weird. We ought to do a Journey song. I just threw it out just for kicks. And he goes, you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, why not? That's up to you guys. You want to learn it and play it without hating all of it, you know?
But the Journey songs in the cover band, I'm assuming those are more true to the original Journey versions, not like a thrash metal version.
No, we did it. We did it justice. I mean, we kicked it up. I mean, Charlie threw some double bass in there. And
in Anthrax, I'm saying. But in your new cover band, though, what is it called? Beyond Frontiers? That's more of a Journey tribute, right?
It's straight up. I mean, we do everything in the right key. Everything is, you know, done like the record. But at the same time, I don't sit around and, you know, I mean, I try to get everything as close as possible. But I also want to have some freedom of just having a loose feel to it, like where I'm not always worrying about every little part, but I also try to keep it light, because I don't like when people take off and try to, like, you know, I mean, I'll leave it alone at that point, you know what I mean? Some people kind of play with it a little too much, or that are really careful, you know, and it's like, oh man, it's just, you lost all the heart and the feel. So I try to have fun with it, but at the same time, I want to keep it right. Yeah, so it's pretty close.
That's cool. Yeah, you did that. And then you still have your solo project. Does it go by Joey Belladonna, or is it just Belladonna? That's like your solo thing.
I haven't done that in a long time. I mean, I had material sitting around for a long time with people that have just gone away and not finished stuff. I've been doing my Joey's Jukebox. I mean, I have all these recorded stuff that I've done over the last couple, 3 years, and I do A to Z bands. I mean, I've 700 songs that I do. I could do a whole night at Toto or Steely Dan or Eagles or God. I mean, I'm leaving bands out. I got so much stuff. I could do a whole night at Dio or Sabbath, or I mean, even more Journey than I do in my cover band, you know? So I do that now, and I sing to these tracks that I put together and mixed over the last couple of years. And that's a blast. In fact, I'm doing a corporate party next week doing that. You know, I do I've done a couple already. So that's really fun. I'll just do like 4 or 5 hours worth of me just singing nonstop and just banging songs out left and right, you know, and every band I'll sing it all, you know?
So is it mostly requests, or it's just,
I mean, I will take requests, but I don't even like think, I just kind of look around, or if somebody does say something, but I'm sort of like DJing and singing at the same time. But it's the stuff that I do without really, I mean, if somebody asks me some songs I don't do, obviously I'm not going to take that request. You know, somebody slides me a Prince number, I don't do it. You know,
okay. No,
don't like, but you know what I mean? Some bands that just, they throw at me. It's like, oh man, I got 700 songs and you picked a band I don't do, you know?
So, and then that's, and Chief Big Way, that's another side cover band where you sing and play the drums. And that's the same kind of thing. Just cover hit songs and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we did pretty much that came to a halt for now, pretty much. I mean, the Journey thing took the hold of that whole bit, you know. Too many guitar players in and out, and after COVID, I guess, you know, we're just kind of packed that up for now. But Joey's Jukebox says, I mean, I can do all that and 10 times as much, you know, without being a band, but also just I can entertain. And I've got great mixes I put together on all these songs, and I just kind of crank it out, and it sounds pretty awesome. You know, I'll never ever do ever in my life with any band at all ever. I mean, I pick all these songs. I mean, nobody's going to do a Gino Vannelli with me or an Ambrosius song, like a set of Eagles. And, you know, I mean, just I can do Chicago for hours. You know, I mean, I could just do all kinds of stuff that I'll never do with people probably into this lifetime. You know, that's what's so much more fun about it.
Right. That sounds fun. So do you like more just singing, straight up singing, and not, I know you don't do a lot of songwriting with Anthrax. And then, like we talked about a little bit, your your Belladonna project. Did you co-write the songs with that one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all day long. I mean, I could do all this stuff. I mean, Anthrax likes to get a head start on everything they do. They have a plan. They do it their way. And you know what? We're still orchestrating it. I mean, I do a lot in there. I do a lot while I'm in the doing the record. I mean, there's so much that's going on. You have to, I mean, it's got to come out my mouth. I have to kind of navigate a good style, a tone and everything. But yeah, I love writing. I mean, I'm into it. I've got so many cool tunes that are just sitting in a can that, you know, again, when people write together and then I part ways, it's not finished. Then I'm like, what do you want me to do with this now? I'm not going to call you up again 3 years later and say, hey, I want to use this song. You know what? I'll write something else. I'd rather be writing. I love writing. I mean, Beyond Frontiers may write, you know, we've recorded all the Journey stuff. I mean, then there'll be a whole Dio thing that's going to be coming on next. It's going to be killer. It's going to be the same band's going to do a whole night of Dio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all Dio, all Rainbow, all Black Sabbath, all solo. It's going to be all Dio oriented. It's the set is going to be killer.
Is it still be called Beyond Frontiers, or you change the name for that?
Yeah, it's going to be the same name. It's just going to be a whole Dio theme, and we can do multiple nights. It's going to be so badass.
So you have some songs that you've written that you've just never with other people that you didn't release.
I got about, I'd say, 40 tunes, 35 songs at least. And it's all kinds of interesting vibes, you know, it's rock, hard rock, metal. You know, it's cool. It's not thrashy at all. There's some ideas there like that, but you know, again, a couple of people I've written with, they're just kind of sitting there, you know, obviously you just can't run away with a song when you did it with someone. You're either going to include them or do it and then change it up. A lot of times if you meet new people, hell, why don't we just write something else? Because you play different than this guy and that guy. We're going to think different. You know what I mean? And not that somebody can't say, oh, man, you got some great songs. I'll play on those. You could do that, but you're still going to have to go back and revisit the other people and see what's up and where they're at. And it's like, you know what? I don't know. It's just kind of a lot of work, a lot of time spent. Yeah. Putting stuff together. And when I do listen back, man, what a shame and stuff, just sitting there wasting. And all the stuff that I put out with Belladonna, that's all demos.
I heard. Yeah.
Really not record. Those songs, some of that stuff is all done in a day. And we're not even done with it. I didn't even mix it. I mean, artifacts, those are just, Paulie and I were just banging out songs on the day, in a day, an 8-track cassette.
Guitarist Paul Crook, right? Who worked with Meatloaf and who was in Anthrax also.
There's two artifacts one and two are just us just banging stuff out per day. And, you know, by the time we look back at it, we could have wrote a whole bunch of other stuff and that came to an end. And then, of course, O3. I mean, we're winging stuff. We weren't even done. I mean, I just put it out for the hell of it because I didn't want to sit on it. I said, the hell with it. Maybe I should have not put it out, I guess. But, you know, I don't care. It's all right.
Well, so when you look back at that time when you were kind of a hiatus from Anthrax and you're doing Belladonna, why didn't you push the solo career more? Why didn't you, were you getting offers from record labels or management or musicians who wanted to work with you? Or did you like just kind of laying low?
I had a deal with the first one, which, you know, obviously it was, you know what? It was just a cool thing to be able to do it. But at the same time, you know, you have to find the right people to stick it out and do it, you know, do it for a full, at least with even Beyond Frontiers, I feel like we're a band, you know, we can always, you know, amount to a bigger longevity. I mean, even when I don't see those guys, I mean, I literally show up and we'll play and I haven't seen them while they're all in Nashville, you know, but normally that whole band would have just disappeared back in here. And these days where I had stuff together, nobody, you know, I mean, as far as you asking if people want to join together, I don't know. I just never went out and put ads out and called a bunch of people. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there, man, I wish I would have known, or I wish I could have done it. And I could have said the same thing, but you know how it goes. You just, things just fall. And at the same time, I wasn't trying to chase anything in particular. I mean, sure, I would have loved to see, you know, a solo thing kind of kick off, but I mean, there wasn't anything in particular. That's a tough run. I mean, Anthrax didn't help me any in any way as far as like, you know, being out for 13 years, they didn't give me any lift off or credit, you know, where credit is due. you know, and I mean, I'll say it flat out. I mean, there's a lot of evidence of that.
Well, yeah. So when you look back on that time of the hiatus for 13 years, do you look back on that time as like a happy time that you had a nice break from music and now you're back? Or do you look back on that time? Was that a sad time where, because you weren't really living up to your potential? I feel like your potential is like, you know, fronting a band and touring the world and playing big venues, not, you know, doing something non-music, which I think you did a non-music thing. But what is your recollection of that time?
Well, you know, you say it well. I mean, it's one of those things you just can't ignore it. Yeah, sure. I mean, try that. I'll give any of those, you know, try that for 13 years on your own. You know, it's not the easiest thing. But at the same time, I didn't fall flat and say, I give up. I mean, that's it. I'm done. You know, you just play it as it comes. You know, I mean, some people are a lot more aggressive and some people are not. I mean, unfortunately, yeah. Thank you for giving me that credit of being able to do that and be able, you know, it's kind of a lost time, you know, in some ways, you know, and it's too bad for all of us. We should have been, it should have been together for that time. That shouldn't have been a low of 13 years of doing nothing. It's kind of weird talking about it. I mean, I'm sure nobody wants to hear about it, but it's the truth, you know?
Yeah. So was it awkward when you first got back with Anthrax, or was it like riding a bike? You're like, oh, this is just, everything's back to normal.
You know what? I there's nothing different to me. It's all you got to do is you got to be sharp and be good at what you do. And I don't really think about it so much. You know, obviously, it's personalities and the whole band situation is really important to find that camaraderie and try to see if that's going to work versus more so my performances and my singing. Cause I felt like I was really good at what I was doing. I mean, I was fine when I was in it. I didn't feel like, if anything, I think I've gotten a lot better. I just feel better. I worked at it enough, you know, to be good at what I do and be strong at my ability to be a live performer and whatever, you know. But again, I don't. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you're one of the rare people who, because I see a lot of singers struggle as they get older, being able to hit the high notes and things, but I don't see that from you. If you're able to sing Steve Perry, I mean, I can't imagine a harder voice to emulate, and you're killing it. And I think it's part of that because, you know, you don't drink or smoke, or if you do, it's in moderation, and you're not, you know, you're taking pretty good care of yourself. You're not obese or anything like that. I feel like those things make a difference. Or do you just feel like you have really good genes and you got lucky?
Well, first of all, I don't party. I don't do anything. So there's no, no kind of thing. I mean, sure. I'm sure there are people that do that and don't have a problem either, but I just don't. It's just what I, you know, for me, it works for me because I don't want to, you know, but at the same time, I don't know. I just think I've been really, really focused on what I do and I work at it enough to maintain an ability to do it. And I just love the striving of singing songs, you know. I love being in the band thing and you know, kicking ass, you know. That's the kind of cool thing about it. And it seems to be very vague, but that's really where I'm at, you know.
Do you like playing because it's such a difference, like playing like a festival where there's this massive audience, but they're not really your fans particular, versus playing like an Anthrax show where you're headlining in a club. It's smaller, but then those are all Anthrax fans. Is there a difference, or do you just love it all?
Well, I mean, I can tell you I love it all. I mean, even the Beyond Frontiers, I mean, sometimes we'll play, you know, a 500 seater, you know, kind of thing. And there's no barrier. I mean, so literally people, you know, you grab your arm while you're singing, you know, that we're that close, you know. It's just, and it's such a really cool vibe. I mean, I would like to have seen something, not so much myself as in like the attraction of it all, but to be in a club and have that kind of that closeness. And then of course the festivals, you know, you get there, it's really exciting because it's such enormous amount of people and your time is up at this time and you get out there and now it's time to just, you know, rip through this crowd and do your thing, You know, so it's really, there's a certain excitement to that. But at the same time, the club is just as exciting because it's still, you have to get up there and perform. So I kind of block out the two as in like one's bigger, better than the other. It's just, you just have to focus and keep your mind on what you're really out there to do. And then the rest of it just becomes another night, you know?
It's got to be surreal though, on those, some of those festivals, or like when you did the Big Four. I mean, you must just look out and it's a sea of people. Like, you can't even see the end of the crowd, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, my thing is just don't overdo it, because people think you got to overdo it. You don't. You got to stay in the same frame. You got to shrink it all down and to a point where you look out there and just do your thing. You don't overdo. You know, it's same with singing. You don't, I mean, I'm very consistent at where I take it today, whether it be small or big, you got to keep a lid on it and just do what you do. And the PA will take you there, you know, just do your thing. Cause I mean, the stages are bigger, everything's bigger, but at the same time, you have to kind of, I mean, this is the first time I kind of put it in this category. It's just, you have to really kind of don't think about it, you know, because if you really, really, if you're not consistent and you keep push, then all of a sudden now you kind of you're out of frame, you know?
Right. Would you guys do, I know Slayer, I don't think they're currently active, but if they got back together, or if you guys could figure out somebody else, would you do another one of those kind of Big Four shows, or like a tour with Metallica and Megadeth? Cause that, or maybe like have Pantera step in. That would be fun, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're naming a lot of cool stuff that could happen, right? Yeah. But the phones are open for all stuff like that. I'm sure that we get offers for stuff that maybe just didn't pan out, you know? Mm. I mean, we had tours. I mean, we've had stuff that, you know, whether we couldn't do it. I mean, I don't even want to go back into the Rolodex of what, you know, what we almost had this tour, but we're out on this one. We just got the offer. We can't because of that. Or somebody had a case, they got sick, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I'm open to anything, you know, as long as, I mean, obviously there's bands that I don't even know who they are sometimes. I may have heard the name, but I don't know. And if the promoters and agency want to pair us up for whatever reason, I guess that's it. And sometimes it's just, you know, it might not be my favorite situation, and nor we be their favorite. The band that's open up, we don't have to be, they don't have to be our fans or our friends. I mean, I prefer when you are on tour with people. Hey, man, what's going on, man? How was your trip last night? How are you guys feeling? Great. Well, see you catering. You know, whatever. And some bands are like, hey, we got our thing, you got your thing, man. Which is sometimes can be a little weird, you know?
Right. Yeah. I was at a concert last night, and it was the last show of the tour. So they were doing all these pranks on each other. They were flicking guitar picks and changing drinks. And it was chaos. Do you guys have those kinds of things happen on tours where bands play pranks on each other?
What was the last band you said? I didn't catch the band.
The band last night, it's Faster Pussycat, and then Jason Charles Miller and Of Limbo. It was a three package deal thing, and they just had the last show of the tour last night. It was fun.
Well, they went off and did some fun stuff, right?
Yeah, there was like, so like the opening band, they're kind of a newer band, Of Limbo. They opened and they dressed in like 80s glam metal as kind of a tribute to Faster Pussycat. And so it was just comical, though. I mean, it was like over the top. The guy put like a beer in his spandex and it was pretty funny. And it was they said they didn't do that every night. It was just because of the last night of the tour. So they were kind of clowning on Faster Pussycat.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that could be hilarious and fun. And then it also could be a big train wreck and like, what the? Come on, dudes. What, I mean, you know what I mean? Sometimes that's why I'm never really into too much horsing around, because then all of a sudden that core of like spontaneous, the playing and the tightness of it all becomes a little unraveled, you know, sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, whatever. We've done plenty of that, too. I get you. It can be fun, you know.
Have other bands done that to you then?
We've had pranks, you know, we've done pranks. I mean, not to get into all the pranks. Sometimes it's off stage, you know, on stage. I don't know.
I feel like Scott would be, that would be kind of his, he seems like he'd be into that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. They were up for it more than I was. I was like, oh, come on, man. You know, yeah, we've done some crazy stuff. Yeah.
Cause didn't you guys clear this up? Because I remember when Wayne's World came out and everybody was like, not. And Anthrax, you guys started the knot thing, Like, was that Scott's thing, or was it yours, or do you remember who like came up with that?
I'll go with Scott. I mean, without being for sure, you know, but he did say not a lot. So, and it became our thing, you know, and then all of a sudden, then you start hearing people do it. Not that you couldn't use the word not,
right?
But he said it. It was seemed to be like it carried over. And I, you know, I can't say for sure, but it seems though, I think we were saying it much, much earlier than most people.
Yeah. That's just fun. Like little things like that. It's so weird. Just, you know, pop culture, like you guys were, I think Anthrax was a part of pop culture in so many ways. I mean, just from like, you know, you're on the Beavis and Butthead soundtrack and then, you know, the Married with Children thing. Was that fun to do that? Cause that was interesting in that scene. Like you're like on the couch and you're not singing. I thought that was a little weird. I was like, aren't you the singer? I don't understand that.
Well, that, first of all, where they set the song and the scene didn't have me singing, which that's where I ended up grabbing that bottle and trying to make myself look useful over there. And I ended up with myself a bump on my head. We did two live shots on that one. So I ended up with a welt on my head, hit myself with that bottle.
But was that your own idea to hit yourself with a bottle, or?
We're supposed to just go wild. You know, we're supposed to wreck the place. And I'm on the couch and I grab the bottle. I said, well, yeah, I hit my head. You know, look cool, right? I mean, it looked great. I mean, splash it over my head like I'm an idiot. But, you know, I gave myself a bump. But yeah, like that's the thing with some Anthrax stuff, the way the songs are written and where they put the scene was there was no vocal in that.
Yeah. Which
was okay, because I'm thinking, God, what was I supposed to stay in the room fake singing? So it was a nice place to be, right on the couch and stay right out of that crazy stuff where they're breaking stuff in the house. And, you know, I don't know.
Isn't that kind of like music videos too? You have to fake sing. Like people, I don't know if people know that or not, but it's pretty well known that when you do a music video, you have to lip sync the song like 40 times in a row or something, right?
The music is just blasting and it's just tiring. It, over and over and over and over, and it's so like slightly unnatural, you know. And some of the stuff I don't even know what we were doing when we got there. It's like, well, so you want? I'm gonna stand here, and you're gonna do what? You know.
That was a big part of the promotion back then. I think it's still somewhat a part of promotion now. But what do you think the differences are from the 80s, where you're on this big record label and you have these budgets and all this? And now it's a little bit different. You have more freedom now, right?
I thought we had pretty much as much freedom as we could possibly do because, let's face it, I mean, early on, we might have had some stuff that was catching someone's ear enough to think that we were definitely an idea to sign and all that. You know, I'm being vague here, but in the end, I think we kind of did what we wanted to do because I don't think we were in the position to really be told to change so much where we became something that we weren't, you know. So I don't remember having so much rules, but you know, amongst us all and management and stuff, I think we tried to pull as much good stuff out as we could and become still valid in the label's eyes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is Scott do you feel like he's a pretty good businessman? Like he helped grow the brand of Anthrax and do a lot of that kind of business decisions? Did he kind of take the reins on a lot of that?
I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that, to be honest with you. I don't really, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of dude to go around, you know? It's hard for me to say when I came in, all the math that went involved to get it going, you know, because there's a lot early on, yeah. I mean, he was there in the beginning doing everything. And then, you know, and sure enough, still to this day, I mean, he has a lot of a big input of what may or may not happen, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. So when you joined the band before, there was already, I think, an EP and some songs written. And I had one of the original guitar players on my show, Greg Walls. And he says that he co-wrote some of those songs, but he didn't get credit. Now, obviously, you don't know, you weren't there, but I'm just curious, like, if you had an opinion on that, like a character witness, like, does that sound like something Scott would do? Or is that like totally out of character for him?
I couldn't tell you for any. No, I don't believe we don't function that way. You know, I think everything is, you know, it should be done correctly if there is valid you know, terms there. But at the same time, I think the band itself is very much into what is needed to write great songs. And we don't really, I mean, if they had it before, I like you said, I couldn't really validate that in any way. I don't believe that anybody rolls that way, but I think we all have input, you know, equally enough to say that, you know, everybody should be getting some credit, you know, for what we do. You know, it doesn't work with one person. It's impossible to do by itself.
Right. Scott, I mean, it's gotta be tough. I don't want to get in trouble, but yeah, it's gotta be tough because in that business, I mean, twice they just kind of let you go. And then like, they didn't even tell you it was management. And then I think I heard the second time they let you go, you found out on the internet. I mean, it's gotta be kind of like cold in some ways with this business, but maybe that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, right. I mean, you hear that stuff. I mean, it's all I could tell you without going into crazy detail. Yeah. It just seems rotten. You know, I mean, I don't know what to say. Every time I say something, like, it's always this bitter vibe, but it's the truth. You know, I mean, what else am I supposed to say? I mean, right. Is there a better story? I wish I had one. I don't.
Yeah. Well, was it awkward though? Because wasn't there one point, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there one point when it was you and John Bush together singing that? Yeah. Tell me about that. It must've been weird.
Oh, it's totally weird. I mean, just going there in my own car and not getting gas money and all that or crap, doing a song that, I remember I listened to this Temptations song. Was this Temptations, I think? I don't know. Balls of Confusion of all things. Yeah. I said, why not? You know, I'll come in. But yeah, it was weird. It was strange. You know, it was. I mean, it wasn't my favorite idea in the song or just being there because I'm not in the band still, you know. But aside from that, obviously, that whole thing, I mean, I didn't get that follows me everywhere I go, you know. I'm out of the band. What happened? You know, I didn't get any leg up for that, you know, and it still follows me. It's just, that's the part. I mean, I can't just shake it away because it's in fine print.
But how do you feel about, I mean, are you still hurt or do you carry like resentment or anger towards them for that?
I don't forget. I can't forget. I mean, I carry on with it. I've been doing, how long have I been in the band now? 11, 12, 13 years now on top of it. Things are good, but you know what? You know, it's like anything else, you know, it's still there. And I think everybody is trying to be sincere and hopefully they are sincere. And you know, I don't need a lot of pats on the back because I do my thing and I don't, you know, I also just, it does suck that, you know, that I felt like I didn't live up to the dream that was there, you know. It's like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I thought I was doing great. I mean,
well, you must have. I think you did live up to the dream because otherwise they wouldn't have got you back. So that's what I'm saying. I think they made a mistake. And it's like, it'd just be nice if you guys all sat down and said, you know what? We fucked up. Like, we're sorry. But, you know, obviously you're moving on. So we don't need to drudge up the past anymore. But yeah, it's something that like bugs me. So it like bugs me for you, I guess. Yeah,
well, I appreciate you bringing it up. I mean, I know that sometimes when you see this later on the back, excuse me, on the backslide, you go, oh, here we go again. It's like, well, you know what? The story is there. There's no, you know, we can't hide from it. It's there. I'm just telling you, we're cruising. We're doing our thing. Everything is above and beyond our expectations right now. We still have room to make it better and maybe kind of pull it closer to a better thing versus just to be an individuality business, you know, job kind of crap, you know, otherwise it's no fun. You know, it's great when you go out there and you forget it for what, an hour and a half, but then you go back to the same old, there he is again. Oh, there, you know what I mean? It's that crap.
Right.
I hate that. But the rest of it, man, should be a lot better, you know, a lot better, you know, if you want it to work, you know, I mean, I know when people go to work, they don't care for the people they're working for and they have to go through it. But you can quit if you want. And I can, people say, don't go back, or why are you there? It's like, well, why not? I mean, I want the fans to be happy. I think the fans deserve a good band that we were and what we do to make people happy and listen to good music that we make. But at the same time, I earned it. I should be able to be there. So why shouldn't I? But at the same time, I'm just still looking for bigger and better options with us to make it better. And that's what I would say. Other than sitting there and having a big, I'm not vindictive. Obviously, it could have been a whole lot worse, or it could have been a lot much more unfavorable situation at the end, you know, which I don't live like that. My wife, yeah. We try not to live that way. We try to open up our hearts to whatever we can do as a band, you know?
I love it. Yeah. I think you're making great music. I love the side projects that you're doing. It's exciting. And you also work with some charities, which I love. I try to promote charities here on my podcast. You do the Guitars for Vets, and is it War Horses for Vets is another one that you support?
My wife, she's got a hold on all that stuff doing. We love doing it. I mean, we have people come to the shows now, and we were constantly helping people that are in need, where they're, you know, really not doing well, and they need friends and assistant comfort, whatever, you know. So yeah, those two organizations, you know.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. And people will look forward to that new Anthrax album. It's coming out at some point, and then probably a tour of some sort, maybe something surprises you're telling me that could be lined up here. It's exciting.
Well, I don't know, whatever you want to consider this exciting. Yeah, whatever. I leave that open to everyone's expectations of what they love, you know, and what's coming, you know. Yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of room for some good stuff to happen.
Yeah, I love eclectic stuff. Like, I love all the stuff, like the bands you've played with, almost every band. I'm a fan, you know, Primus, King's X, and Living Color, all those ones. And then, of course, all the metal ones too, Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica. I'd love to see some sort of Big Four tour in the U.S. Did you guys ever actually tour as that in the U.S., or was it only overseas?
No, we only did the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, so never came. Yeah, because that would be one thing that would be fun, to have a tour in the U.S. I think that would kill it.
What's that place, Coachella or whatever? We did that
Coachella?
One.
Yeah.
That was the big
four. I can't afford that, but
that was where the big four. So two in the States.
Yeah, two. Need and to do like a full tour.
Yeah, the rest are overseas. And unfortunately, yeah, there wasn't any like a full tour. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if that could ever come to tuition again. You know, maybe. Yeah.
And come to Arizona. That's where I am right now. So that would be convenient. Or Vegas. I'll drive to Vegas or LA, I guess.
Yeah. I definitely got to get down to Arizona again. I like being down there.
Yeah. Now's a great time to come. It's the weather's perfect. Good place. Where are you now? Where are you located?
Central New York, Syracuse.
Okay. Yeah. That's cold in New York. This is a good time to come to Arizona, do a show.
Yeah. Yeah, they got like a foot and a half, about 40 miles from here yesterday.
Whew. Yeah.
Maybe 3 or 4 inches, you know.
Yeah, bring one of your Joey's Jukebox or the Beyond Frontiers. Come to a show.
I'll be there. I'll come down and do it for sure, man.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Joey. I appreciate it.
Good luck tomorrow night in the Seahawks in Dallas. Oh, right?
Yeah. And good luck to your Vikings. Who are they playing this week?
You got Cincinnati coming up, and you this playoff time now. You got, you either win or you don't, and you're in trouble. You get start really losing ground. Five games left.
Hopefully, that quarterback got the bad game out of his system, and now he can step it back up.
Yeah, there were some lucky, a lot of tip balls in those intercepts. We just, man, it's, I don't know what the heck. That was a weird game, man.
It was a weird game.
Weird. I was so frustrated, I couldn't take it.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good one. I'll talk to you later.
Right now, man. Thanks a lot, Chuck.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the full podcast episode. Please help support our guests by following them on social media and purchasing their products, whether it be a book, album, film, or other thing. And if you have a few extra dollars, please consider donating it to their favorite charity. If you want to support the show, you can like, share, and comment on this episode on social media and YouTube. And if you want to go the extra mile, you can give us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Finally, make sure you're subscribed to the show on YouTube for the video versions and other exclusive content. We appreciate your support. Have a great rest of your day, and shoot for the moon.